My name is John Erling, and today's date is March 24th, 2016. Happens to be a Thursday this year. David, would you give your full name, please?
David Lyle Boren.
Your date of birth?
April 21st, 1941.
That makes you present age?
74. And I'm glad I can say that for another month.
Right. We're recording this here in the facilities of Voices of Oklahoma. Tell us where you were born.
I was born in Washington, D.C., in the old hospital across from Georgetown University Hospital, right at the edge of Georgetown. It's been turned into a group of condos since then, but I was born there.
Let's talk about your father first and your family, and maybe a bit about the Borens coming to Oklahoma.
Well, the Borens came to Oklahoma shortly after statehood. When they first came here, my dad was about 6 years old. They came in a covered wagon. My grandfather was an entrepreneur of sorts. His family and my grandmother's family, my grandmother Boren, who was a Weatherall, both families had come to Texas very early on, and my grandfather Boren's father had come with Stephen Austin and the original colony to Texas. So that made me eligible to be a member of the Sons of Republic of Texas, which I have a lot of fun saying to Texas audiences and then saying I realized the dream of every Texan, we got to come to Oklahoma. So he was an early pioneer. I had another great-grandfather on my grandmother's side that had the first subscription school in East Texas, too. So they were early educators, entrepreneurs. My grandfather Boren had the first ice cream parlor in Texas. That was one of his ideas, is to have ice cream. I'm not sure how successful that was. But among other things, he had kind of a construction company, and by subscription, they built levees along the main rivers of Texas. I've forgotten which river, that he was building a levee. He had a farm, too. He had a cotton farm. And while he was trying to build the levee, a huge flood came along and wiped out the levee, and with it wiped out everything my grandfather had, all of his financing. He had 9 children, and the farm, which was mortgaged, and they finally just lost everything, and came to Oklahoma in a covered wagon. So they came across the Red River in a covered wagon with my dad. Had a little stick horse that he said he ran behind the covered wagon riding his stick horse. And I think spent the first night in Oklahoma at the wagon yard down around Warika.
Your father's name?
Was Lyle Boren.
He went on to become?
A congressman from Oklahoma. Well, he was a school teacher first at a rural school in Seminole County. Some of his students were older than he was. He was at an early age. And then he ran for Congress in 1936 and got elected. We're never quite sure how old he was. We think he was 25 at the time, but we're not sure because his birth certificate was lost. And my grandmother, he told her to put his age in the family Bible that would make him eligible to run for Congress that year. So we're not sure whether he was really 24 when he was elected to Congress or 25, but he was the third youngest since Henry Clay at the time he was elected.
But he was also a farmer and rancher.
He was a farmer and rancher, and in fact, after he left Congress and we came back home to Oklahoma, he operated cattle ranches fairly near Seminole, and he was one of the founders of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. So he has a long history there. And used to take me as a child around to go sign up all these ranchers in places like Woodward and all over the state, up in the Osage. Just close friends of the Drummonds up there and others that were part of the early formation of the Cattlemen's Association. So that was a fun experience.
There's a cute story about he sold a cow for $40 to finance his first year in college.
Yeah, I think that's true.
In East Central?
That's right, at East Central. And that's where he met my mother. He was a student at East Central getting his teaching certificate. They used to have a practice school that was attached to East Central called Horace Mann School. And my mother, who'd grown up in Maud, the schools weren't too adequate there at the time. My grandparents moved temporarily to Ada so she could go to the Horace Mann teaching school at East Central. So she went to that high school at East Central, and my dad turned out to be one of her teachers. She said she always remembered at the end of the semester, and she had kind of fallen for him, and he obviously had. He told her, "You can't roll in my class next semester." And she said, "Well, why?" And he said, "Because I'm not allowed to date any of my students, and I intend to date you." So that was the beginning of that.
He attached himself to the Oklahoma Democratic Party.
Absolutely.
How did that come? Was that a natural progression?
Well, I think that probably the family had been Democrats in Texas. And, you know, of course, Oklahoma was so overwhelmingly Democratic at that time. And he was very active, then became active even in college in what was called the Young Democrats Fraternity. We call it the Young Democrats today, college Young Democrats. He became very active in that. virtually the whole state was Democratic. It was totally one-party rule. The principal thing he believed in was giving equal opportunity to everybody. And he had a real sensitivity for those who were underprivileged. And after all, my grandfather had to become a tenant farmer. He had been very successful, but he lost everything, came to Oklahoma. They lived over near Lawton. They lived in about 7 or 8 different locations. And he had all these kids. And they had a struggle. My father went to all these different high schools. He said he can remember, and they used to take in stray kids, too, that they needed to feed and so on, my grandmother and my grandfather, and they had to put water in the gravy and everything else. They just literally barely had enough to eat. So
you're talking about the Great Depression time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
So this was the 30s, and Dad was first elected to Congress in 1936. A lot of it was sensitivity to people that had not had a lot of privileges, and I remember one rule in our household. You could never use the word class. You could never say he's middle class, he's upper class, whatever. You could never use that word. He said, well, they have classes in Europe, places like Britain. They believe in the class structure. We're Americans. We believe everyone's equal. We don't believe in classes. So if you said the word class at the dinner table, you were asked to get up and leave the dinner table. Literally, I was asked once to leave the dinner table when I misused that word. He had very strong feelings about that.